Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of Your Dose of Death podcast. My name is Lauren Rosenberg. Thank you each and every single week of this podcast. You guys listen to it. It goes a long way. It's very much appreciated. Before we get into today's guest, just as always, my two big sponsors, Crimson Mask Apparel and Grateful Deathmatch. Thank you guys for sponsoring this show. Means the absolute world to me. But of course, you guys are here to hear from my guest, someone who has really been making waves in not just the deathmatch scene, but just in wrestling in general, someone who really came out of nowhere, who is now a perennial regular at the likes of H2O, Beyond, No Peace, you name it. And of course, we're going to be talking about two big shows she's on coming up with ISW and H2O. I am joined none other than by the girl from Ocean Avenue herself, Kennedy Copeland. How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm trying to keep it together right now.
I know. In case we keep it in or not, her foster failure Peter was just being a goof earlier.
He's a dog, by the way, not a
yes.
child.
No, just like... no, hell no. A foster, I think most people would know, but anyways.
Oh my god, could you imagine calling a child? and yes, yeah. My dog's name is Peter.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. We're off to a great start. I'm sorry.
I was gonna say we're flying right now. Flying flags real high here.
Oh but, my god.
Thank you for taking time of your busy schedule. I know you're a busy
gal. Oh yeah,
gal.
Sorry, I had to reschedule
no,
on you.
Nah, you're good.
Because of dogs, man.
Dogs, right? I mean, you're a dog person,
right?
You're a wrestler, you're an expert in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you're all over the place. But of course, you still have time for me, which is very much appreciated to me as well as the listeners. But of course, how have you been these last few weeks for you? Have been a hell of a ride, let's put it like that.
Oh my god, I'm exhausted. in case you can't tell.
Yeah, I can tell. And of course, you just won the H2O Hybrid Championship, which is an incredible feat. Congratulations.
Thank
and
you.
You're welcome.
I still can't believe it happened.
and of course, as well, I mean, you've been with Beyond. You were on the IWTV 100 or the Untitled show, I should say.
Yeah.
As well with Megan Bain, which is a huge, huge test right there. I know the two of you were having some friendly banter, to say the least.
Yeah, and then she threw me around. It was a grand little
time.
And of course,
want to give a shout out to our good mutual friend Steven for getting that amazing design of you with the syringe as well, which is now a shirt on another friend of the show, Deathmatch Worldwide. which you guys can buy on Deathmatch Worldwide. If you just look up Kennedy Copeland, it is on there. Yeah, you've been a regular No Peace, which is kind of a crazy deal. Of course, you made your debut with No Peace WrestleMania weekend to now being a regular.
Oh, dang, you did your research.
I know what's up. People think I'm just doing this on the fly. But anyways,
I can barely keep track of my own stuff, so that's impressive.
But I know from experience, I know the very first time I think many people saw you was the Mystery Theater special that H2O put on, and you faced G-Raver. And of course, the viral sensation clip of you taking the tattoo needles was really kind of like the first, like, oh, this girl's about it. She's for real.
I got a couple followers after that.
Yeah, just a couple. And I think from there, I think your rise to stardom really started. But my first kind of question for you really is, looking back at that night with Raver to now, how do you reflect on everything that you've been able to accomplish?
Well, first off, I pretty much owe him my entire career. And it's funny because none of that was actually supposed to happen. I was originally scheduled to face somebody else. Unfortunately for them, they were injured. And while I would never wish injury upon anybody, unless I really dislike you, no, I, you know, within less than a week's notice, I found out I was facing G-Raver, and I was just like, hold up. It all went from there, and I never would have. I'm still in disbelief that all of this is happening.
And I think it's crazy. I guess you would say it's really a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
That one thing doesn't happen, but the other does. And now you're all, it really seems like you're all over the Eastern Seaboard at this point. And especially considering, as I said before, you made your No Peace debut, which many, I think, caught a lot of people off guard, especially with everything that happens Mania Week. But I think for me, the biggest surprise was like Kenny Copeland making her debut at No Peace, which is like the no ring deathmatch promotion of the United States. You don't talk about that genre of wrestling without talking No Peace. Mm-hmm. And now you've been a regular, which of course we've seen some pretty crazy things happen your way, from the infamous Jamie Senegal match on 4th of July to being a part of the historical all women's no ring death match with you, Casey Catal, Kelsey Reagan, and others, which of course brought us the infamous syringe shot that has now been immortalized on a shirt. What has your experience been like with the No Peace guys? I'm always curious to hear anyone's experience about them.
I can't even describe it. It's something that you have to experience. And again, I never really thought I would find myself doing that as well. I remember one night, you know, I had the night off, and so I just flipped on IWTV, and I was like, No Peace, like, what is No Peace Underground? And I was like, a no ring death match, like, what the hell am I watching, basically? And then it really suckered me in. And so I find it hard to believe that I'm there, you know, and it's, I wouldn't trade it for the world. I really wouldn't. It's weirdly a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I mean, because you just kind of go into it knowing you're going to get hurt. So you're just kind of like, what's the stupidest stuff I can do?
I was going to say, going off of what you just said, I was going to say that Jamie Senegal match was really the pinnacle of what you just said. If you've not seen this match, I highly recommend it, because the two of you just basically went out there and said, let's just do this dumbest shit. It's 4th of July. We're with our friends.
Have a good time.
Let's just put some fireworks in some interesting places and go from there. What was your mind going through with just that entire match? Because I know that was one that really caught a lot of people off guard.
I mean, honestly, we were just like, let's do jackass stuff. And my inner child was like, hell yeah, because I probably shouldn't have, but like, I grew up on that. So to relive it was great.
I think a lot of us grew up on Jackass, so it's not any.
I don't think that makes it any better.
No, it doesn't. I mean, considering there is another movie coming out, it's almost fitting that we talk about it. Of course.
Cheap plug.
Cheap plug.
Right? We're not sponsored by them.
Yeah, I was going to say, a fun story, I did run into Johnny Knoxville in an airplane. So.
Did you really?
Yeah, I was flying back home on a vacation and his entire family was on it. And I'll tell you this afterwards, but they were just not pleasant to deal with. So, but anyways, I want to get into just what made you discover deathmatch wrestling and what made you want to try? This is actually a fan question. This one specifically, I just want to give a shout out to Sean Taggart, who asked this question. Like, when did you discover deathmatch? And what about the style made you want to try it and just become someone who regularly does it?
I don't think there's one set point where, like, I discovered it. It was something I always knew about. You know, I remember watching, like, highlight videos of CZW, and I'm like, I'm allowed to curse, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was like, this shit is wild. So I've known about it. I just never really thought I would be a part of it because it's not that, like, I didn't have any interest, but I guess it's one of those things where, like, I didn't quite know how. It was a blessing in disguise that I just sort of stumbled upon it. And really, it all started with G-Raver. And when that was announced, everyone was like, have fun taking tattoo needles. And I was like, I guess I'm taking tattoo needles. Like, I was just like, okay, this is what we're doing. I was like, it can't be that bad. Like, I have some, so, you know, I have tattoos, but having them stick in your forehead and, like, trying to balance them, that's a weird sensation. But okay. It was, like, one that I was really proud of myself that I took it and did it. And I think from there, I was just like, what else can I do? So a lot of this is just sort of, like, challenging myself.
That's a good way to put it. It's definitely a different way to look at deathmatch wrestling, which I think this is why I do this podcast, is I get different ideas of why people do deathmatch wrestling. So I think it definitely helps that you really just landed upon it. And now look at you. You're an entrant in the Tremont deathmatch tournament. You've done deathmatches on a somewhat consistent basis.
Yeah, I'm very lucky to have these opportunities. So I think that's why I'm trying to take as many as I can and just run with them.
This is one of the four from our good friend and Count Out podcast colleague Sky, who had a multitude of questions for you considering.
Hi Sky.
So how did the nickname the Hardcore Daughter come about?
That came from a Twitter page, actually. It came out right after Hardcore Kingdom. Okay. And I believe it's Freebirds.
Taka Freebirds. Taka.
And so they, you know, they posted, like, a review of the match and whatnot. And so I did the translate and it said Hardcore Daughter and I just fell in love with it. Oh my God. So I, you know, was very appreciative of that. So I wanted to run with that as well.
Okay. Well, another question. This one we're going to do kind of a bit of a throwback here. This is kind of a funny one that came my way. It was, were you in any art programs in your youth? Because someone thought you seemed like a band kid.
A band kid. I wish I was. I tried to play the flute in, like, fifth grade, but that's kind of hard when you don't know how to read music notes. So I couldn't. And I don't, like, play a little bit of bass. I only know, like, the tabs.
Okay.
But no, I was more of, like, a film and video kind of girl. Yeah.
Okay.
Who said that?
I'm trying to remember who,
it
was someone on the World of Deathmatch Discord. I forget who, but someone was like, oh, I thought she was a band kid. So,
I wasn't cool enough for them because I like didn't listen to the Muse or something like that. So they didn't like me.
Wow.
Yeah. They like shunned me. I was like, oh, okay.
I was like, so another question that I have, I forget who, but if, all these questions have either been from, of course, Sky or other people who were part of the World of Deathmatch Discord as well. That's where they got most of these. Someone asked, is there anyone in the scene you still have your sights set on that you'd like to test yourself against? And I think this is a good one considering really a lot of what you've done is really like to put yourself to the test.
Mm-hmm. I like that. and I wish I could answer it. There have been a few names that I've seen going around, but I don't want to spoil anything just yet. So
okay,
you have to keep your eyes peeled.
Okay, I think that's a very respectable answer. I agree with that. So
I keep y'all on your toes.
Exactly. I was gonna say. So this is another one from Sky, actually. With you holding the hybrid championship, who are some dream opponents for you, either in H2O or in other companies?
Ah, oh gosh, that kind of ties in with the last one.
But okay.
Oh my god, okay. This is what I was afraid of, is like not having good answers.
No, you're good. So to kind of go off of that though, I will ask you about one of the big events you have coming up, Destiny, coming up Halloween night. The FMWE, H2O Collaborative, you are a part of history in that show. You are defending the H2O Hybrid title against five other women. I believe that's the first time ever the H2O Hybrid title has been defended in an all-women's match. It has to be.
I feel as though it is. I mean,
I am
the first female champ.
You are the first female champ as well, which is big in its own right. I mean, Matt Tremont has a lot of faith in you. But of course, he has a lot of faith in you to book you against four other fine competitors in the forms of Mickey Knuckles, in the forms of Casey Catal, in the form of Jenny Rose, former ROH star. I'm blanking on a few other names. Oh,
Masha Slamovich
as well.
Newest TNA knockout. So yes, like, no pressure.
No pressure. What is your mindset going into that match itself?
Fuck it. Well, I didn't even know. So okay, Tremont loves to do this thing where he just like drops bombshells on me. I didn't even know until he announced it that I was going up against Gregory Iron for the hybrid championship. So I found out literally when he announced it. I'm backstage, I'm like, what? Ask the people that were around me. I honestly thought, because I'm in the deathmatch tournament, that I thought I was going to have a Halloween night off to just kind of watch and enjoy. But then he's like, oh, my B, forgot to send you this. And he sends me the match graphic. And I'm just like, well, that's if I survive the tournament. So
yeah.
There's just a lot going on.
Well, I mean, I think it is almost fitting that you are a part of that show, because it is
I'm very
H2O.
Honored to be.
I mean, you're on the same card as an Onita Tremont.
Bruh.
Barbara. What is your
life?
I have to keep...
No, seriously. I don't know. I was hoping you could tell me.
I don't know.
I can't. I literally cannot even.
This was another one I quite asked by Sky, which you kind of slightly answered. But what was your initial reaction winning the hybrid championship? I think a lot of people seemed like the reaction that you had on camera was definitely one people thought like, oh, like, did she not know until she walked out the curtain that she was going to win? Or like, what was your reaction?
I mean, just about. No, I guess I'm kind of a like seeing is believing kind of person. And like, this even pertains to like my real life. Like oh God, I don't even know if I can be saying this yet.
No,
but like, I just got offered like a different position at work that I was very excited to take. But like, at the same time, I don't ever like to get my hopes up, because I don't want it to be like taken away. So the fact that like had the title in my hands, I was like, this is legit. So that was a very genuine reaction.
That was very genuine. I think a lot of people were really surprised. I myself was like, she won the belts.
I'm not kidding.
Like, I saw that. I was like, Kennedy won the belt. What the hell is life right now? So I think a lot of people are just really happy for you.
Oh, well, I appreciate that.
So I am curious though, like, who were your like top influences, matches? Your video, it's fine.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
Sorry, I was trying to swipe up my siblings. We have a group text and they're just blowing it up. I'm like, guys, I'm trying to do something.
No worries. We're all laughs here on Your Dose of Death podcast. You just know. Who were some of your top influences or match wrestling matches or wrestlers that when you grew up, you were like, oh, this is the person I want to be like?
I mean, I always had a thing for Edge, which I feel like is no secret. I don't know. I just, ever since the first time I ever laid my eyes on him, mind you, I was like 5 years old. I was smitten. So definitely him. I was always obsessed with like Mickie James growing up too. Aww. And I always found that ironic because I'm like, oh, she's obsessed with Trish and I'm obsessed with her. So low-key following her footsteps.
That's amazing.
And honestly, up until recently, like, this is always kind of just like a, not an extra, but like, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. But like, I never really truly appreciated him growing up. I guess in a way I did because I hated him as a heel.
Okay.
He was just doing his job. You're supposed to. So I am very influenced by Kurt Angle. I wish I could bring like half that intensity to the ring. So he's somebody that I'm trying to channel, you know?
Okay. I can see the Kurt Angle in you a little bit. I can see it.
You're just saying that.
No, I actually can't.
It's in there somewhere.
It's in there somewhere because you always do get passionate in your matches and you're always trying to like get the crowd hyped up. So it definitely is a very Kurt Angle-esque kind of thing. So going into 2021, I don't know what your goals were for 2021, but I'm pretty sure you probably crossed them all off the board. I don't know.
I don't think I really set any. Okay, so hear me out. So this was actually something that I had to like discuss with my therapist because I was like, so she basically had to tell me to set attainable goals.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, we all want to work for like big companies and whatnot, but she had to explain to me like that's, you know, that's not necessarily in my control, so that's not that it's not a feasible goal, but like try to set intentions. So my intention is always to just, you know, like not half-ass and whatnot. Hopefully, you know, from there, one of those big companies will see that and take note. So mm-hmm. I truthfully didn't actually have any goals going into any of this.
Well, let's look flash forward to 2022. Because someone wanted to ask you, do you have any 2022 goals? Have you thought about anything on those lines?
Let me just make it through this year first. Pretty much. I don't know. I might die. Like, I got a wild couple weeks coming up. So, you know what? My goal is to just get there. How does that sound?
Okay. Sounds good. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, January 1st, 2022. If I'm still here, I'll be like, "Woohoo! My resolution's complete already."
And then so I think the same person. I forget who, but whoever asked this, they're like, "How would you feel about an appearance in Terminal Survival 7 next year?"
YOLO. But that's YOLO. I feel like okay. I feel like that's not a good reason. You only live once, you know. Like,
that'd be a fun one to talk.
That's why you shouldn't be doing these things. But well, now, whatever comes my way, I mean, I guess what I'm hoping for is just to continue this roll of momentum I've been on. But we'll see.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
it's not always up to me.
We'll see. This is kind of a funny one. Someone wanted me to ask this. I know you do have a match during the Night of Destiny, but my one dear friend wanted to ask, how close will you be for Onita Trima?
Not at all. I'm I hate loud noises. I can't even do like thunder.
Really?
I can't do fireworks. My dad growing up would always get tickets to like, you know, Raw and stuff.
Yeah.
And there'd always be an extra one because I wouldn't go because I couldn't do the pyro. I'm going to be watching from afar. But still, like, you know.
You'll be in the vicinity.
Close enough to be a part of it.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Still witness history. That's a really good question.
Yeah. So this is the last fan question. I've gone through almost all these because y'all are crazy. Which, by the way, I just want to give a shout out to everyone who did ask a question. You guys are the best because this just makes us way more fun. As you see, Kennedy's having a ball with these questions.
I am. Like, people actually give a shit.
Yeah, right? That's what I... Makes me so good about I just want you guys to know, because I had this conversation with Kennedy before. Like, I know personally, like, you have been having a few... There's a few rough days, and we all have those kind of days. But, like, these questions are just... They're really a testament to how people have been paying attention and to the inspiration you've been to several people. I mean, I know Sky, who is a part of the wrestling community now, she's trained to be a wrestler. Mm-hmm. She has listed you on multiple occasions to me, as well as to our colleagues at the Count Out Network. It's a whole thing. Like, she looks up to you. So I know, I just want you to know, I mean, yes, we've had rough days, but people really do care, like, about you and care what you do. So I think these questions are a true testament to the kind of work you put in as well. So I know you have appreciated them.
It's a good reminder, you know, and like, cause it's right there in front of me. So I'm like, okay, yes, it's there. So, whereas like when I'm just by myself, I'm like, nope, nobody cares.
So this last question kind of goes back to the five-way. Is there any extra pressure going into that five-way, or is it really just another chance for you to do your thing?
Oh, there's always pressure. I mean, I was going through everybody. I'm like, you have Masha, who even before she, you know, she's recently got signed to TNA, but even before that, we've danced several times, and every time it's a blast, but I have yet to have a victory over her. So that right there is going to be a challenge. Jenny Rose, you know, I know she's trained with Ring of Honor. She's trained in Japan. So I'm like, oh my God, that's another feat I'm going to have to get over. Mickey Knuckles, I just barely scraped by, you know, and then there's Casey, who also holds a victory over me. So I'm just kind of like, welp.
Yeah, I mean, looking at that field, I mean, you've wrestled almost all of the competitors. I know. I think Jenny Rose, you haven't wrestled, correct?
Correct. Yep. I've seen her a time or two at the H2O Center, though. Yes. But that's, you know, seeing her and being in the
different
ring with her are two different things. Yeah. So.
But in all honesty, I mean, yeah, there is pressure, but I mean, this is a historical card. I mean, I know I'm not the one to give advice, sage advice anyways.
I'll take whatever I can get.
But like, I think for anyone a part of that historical card, I mean, you probably heard it all from Tremont about how Onita's bringing all the goods and all that, but like, just taking the moment, I mean, you're literally wrestling in a baseball stadium, which is for most people, it's like, oh, it's wrestling in a baseball stadium. But for some people who've never done it before, you're relishing in a moment. I mean, this is a very high gate. This is a gate that I know in the deathmatch community, I've heard from people are very excited for this show. And the fact that you're a part of a historical card like this and being on this card, not just being a spectator for one, this is nothing short of an incredible moment. So, I mean, take it all in. Take all in. A huge opportunity.
I'm just stoked to have plans on Halloween for once. Like, so the fact that I get to do all this crazy shit, it's unreal.
It is. And so, that's the last of the fan questions, because everyone's like, oh, I want fan questions. I'm like, okay. but really just kind of to wrap it up, I mean, you also have... The week before Halloween, you have a big thing coming up, ISW, Slamtasia, the big house block party. Of course, you're in the main event, the Million Blocks death match. Of course, I'm just going to pull up here real quick. So give me just a hot second while I pull this insane matchup, because this is really an insane matchup. And it's crazy that you are even just a part of it. But of course,
it's crazy that I'm debuting and I'm in the main event. Like, why does this, not why, but like, how does this stuff keep happening? How do I keep finding myself in these predicaments?
it's like the movie. It's like, you know, you remember the movie Tracer? It's like, oh, like you're going through a bump or whatever. It's like, oh, hey, it's me. You're wondering how I got here. It's like one of those.
Oh, like record scratch.
Yeah, the record scratch.
That's been my entire year.
But this match, in case anyone is really curious, because this is an awesome main event. Jeff Cannibal, Kennedy Copeland, Lucky 13, Orrin Vyte, Bastion Schnoe, and of course, the queen of the Blocks Deathmatch, Addie Starr, returning to the United States in a Million Blocks Deathmatch. What is your mindset going into that one?
I don't know. I don't know. It's so hard for me to wrap my mind around all of this. I mean, for one, I'm very excited to face Addie because we were supposed to have a singles match at WWR Plus, which unfortunately did not happen. So I'm excited to step in the ring with her. I'm a little nervous because I've teamed with Cannonball, but I've never been opposing him. So that'll definitely be interesting. And just again, you know, this is my debut for Interspecies and it's the main event. And there's going to be a bunch of blocks. Like, what?
A bunch more, like near a million. So,
oh my God.
That's one I, of course, yours truly will be flying in for that show. I'm really excited to see you as well as everyone else. Of course, I'm a big sponsor of that show. If you've not checked out the card, it's a really awesome card, top to bottom. H2O students, veterans of the game, all will be there. Of course, if you guys know my good friend Sean Henderson, as well as hosting his international food fight, which
I'm looking forward to that one.
That is going to be a fun one. Of course, many Your Dose of Death alumni will be on that show. Newly anointed as well, Kennedy Copeland will be in the main event. That's just it's a really fun show. It's going to be October 23rd. So by the time this is released, it'll be the week of. So this will be kind of like your ISW primer, per se, to get to know the one, the only Kennedy Copeland. But of course, Kennedy, thank you for being on this. This has really been an absolute blast. Really glad we made this work out. You're welcome.
I'm glad it happened.
So we're about wrapping it up, but of course, I like to do this with all my guests. This is near the time where I'm just like, plug away your stuff. If you have anything to plug, if you have anything you want to share, just anything on your mind or anything in your end, the floor is yours, my friend.
You don't want to know what's on my mind. no, so, oh God, I always feel like I need to be prepared for this. But if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's the Kennedy Copeland. If you want to follow me on Twitter, if you don't already follow me, that'd be, you know, much appreciated. But on Twitter, it's I always have to explain it because every handle that I wanted was taken. So I had to go with Kennedy Copeland, but wherever there should be an E, there's a 3 in place of it. And then don't bother trying to find me on Facebook because I just shitpost memes and stuff there. So I don't actually ever, like, I have so many friend requests that I'm just kind of like, I'll get to it. And then I never do. And then I'm gonna be like Bob Barker and be like, spay and neuter your animals.
Reach.
You said Reach. Whatever is
yeah
on mind,
I did
so.
This is exactly the space that I make it to be. So I mean, it really is
thank
awesome
you for this platform.
Anytime. I mean, it's funny, people are always like, oh, he's just doing it for himself. I'm like, no, this is for the wrestlers, the people who are part of deathmatch wrestling any way they possibly are. Of course, you yourself being a wrestler, but really it's about you guys and what you guys do in this business. And I mean, and how many years have you been wrestling, like, as of today?
I never know how to answer this because I've taken
professionally.
I would say fairly consistently since 2015. That's when I had like my first official match.
Okay.
A couple hiatuses here and there, but all together since then.
Okay. Since 2015. I mean, it's been about a good 6 years then.
Yeah. So I'm very grateful that I'm finally finding my place in all of this because I never thought I would.
Well, I mean, that's always the, as you heard it from her, it's always like the true underdog stories. Those are kind of my favorites. The true, like, rags to riches. I've I've said that to several guests, but with you, Kennedy, it really is true. I mean, you've found your way, and I think we've seen your star shine brighter than I think most have expected, and that's the best thing you can possibly ask for. So, guys, I mean, you heard it from Kennedy. Spay and neuter your dogs.
and cats.
And cats as well.
Don't leave them out.
Be kind to animals, you know, the whole shebang. But if you aren't planning on seeing her wrestle, you should. She will be on the October 23rd ISW show. She will be a part of the historical Halloween show for Destiny, of course, as well. We didn't even touch on it, but the Tremont Deathmatch, which I am also sponsoring, which is crazy to me still. But you were entering numero uno out of 16 people who are going to be in that tournament. Which,
that's wild.
Yeah. Of course, just going to kind of quickly, I mean, you, Mickey Knuckles, Neil Diamond Cutter, Lucky 13 just got announced, Austin Luke, Anthrax, Gigi Everson. I know I'm amazed at myself of remembering all these names, but really, this is an awesome deathmatch.
You got Brandon Kirk.
You have some incredible names in this tournament. Of course, I'm speaking with the OG, the number one entrant in this tournament. Of course, Kennedy, I hope you kill into that tournament. You're my pick to win. So
thank you. Something's going to get killed.
Something or someone's going to get killed. But
it's a safe bet.
But guys, I mean, definitely keep an eye on Kennedy Copeland. She has really been killing it everywhere she goes. But I hope you guys really enjoyed this episode. I for one did, because this has been a blast to talk to you, Kennedy.
Enjoyed it myself.
Well, awesome. As you heard it from Kennedy Copeland, this is Lauren Rosenberg wishing you guys a good day, good night, whenever you're listening to this, and stay safe out there, y'all.
This has been a Countout Podcast.